The problem with funny people at work, a letter from a real Marine, and some Duluth facts. All this and more on today's How Did This Get Made? A mini-episode, Hit the Theme!
What's up, dum-dums?
Gonna make your tiny little mind explode. Paul's at the wheel and he's towing the load. There's no turning back, now you're on the road for a head-on collision with a mini-episode.
What's up, dum-dums? It's me, Paul Scheer, and welcome to a How Did This Get Made? Mini-episode, where I tell you all the info that you need for next week's podcast and all the things that you might have missed from last week's episode, which of course was Skyscraper. First of all, just want to say thank you all for the amazing response to our 200th episode. It took a lot to kind of put that together, and we really appreciate that that you listened to it and that you shared it around. So thank you for that. Big shout out to the creator of the theme that you heard today. That's Casey Campbell. Thank you, Casey. So much to get into today, but let's first hear from you in a little section we like to call the Explanation Hope Line.
Want your deepest questions answered? Then Paul Scheer will opine. Like, how do I get these voices to stop? Yeah, that was also on my mind. Got your heart broke or some other axe to grind? It bears examination on the Explanation Hope Line.
Thank you, Casey Campbell, again. All right, people. Not that many people calling this week with their problems. No, we want to talk about Skyscraper. Come on, people. That's a movie. I want to hear about you. You can always give me a call at 619-PAULASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. But you know what? Today, I'm only going to be helping one person, and that person is Megan.
Hey, Paul. This is Megan in Nashville, and I have a question. I work with someone who thinks they're funny. They're younger, so, you know, maybe have some growing and maturing to do. But loves comedy, loves that scene. And I just am at a loss. So do you encourage someone to do comedy, or how do you maybe persuade someone to just keep their day job? Just wanted your thoughts. Thanks.
Megan, this is a very sad call. You're either going to lift somebody up or destroy their hopes and dreams. First of all, how are they trying to be funny? Are they doing like Austin Powers and Borat voices? Because if that's the type of funny they're bringing, forget it. They're a lost cause. Get rid of them. But if they're just making bad jokes that are not racist or sexist, maybe you could point this person into the right realm. Be like, hey, you like comedy? Here, I listen to this comedy podcast, and here's another comedy podcast, or here's a show that I like. You're kind of reminding me of Maria Bamford in her Netflix show when she's supposed to be the comedian, but the people in the office are such hacky, awful people that everyone laughs at them and not her. Anyway, long walk to tell you that little anecdote that's not even mine. But all I would say is this. Push him in the right direction. Since he didn't give me examples, I don't have a strong feeling either way. But, you know, let's see. Let's see. Call me back in 5 years and tell me what happened. All right. Thank you very much, Megan. And that's it. We're done. Explanation Hope Line over. Because you guys didn't have any other problems. But Megan probably had the best problem of all time, so I'm not really worried about it. Give me a call next week at 619-PAULASK. 619-PAULASK. All right, people. Here's the deal. So much to talk to you about today. First of all, did you know that Jason Mantzoukas is in a movie? Yeah, he's in a movie. It's called The Long Dumb Road. It is available in select theaters right now and will be released on VOD very soon. If you're in LA this weekend, which is the weekend of November 16th, you can go check it out at the Lemley in Santa Monica and in Glendale. It's a road movie a la Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and it's Jason and Tony Revolori from Grand Budapest Hotel. I think you will like it. I think it's a really funny, funny movie. Also, if you haven't been checking out Unspooled, get on it. Conan O'Brien was on last week. John Lovett is on this week from Pod Save America. So definitely check them out. Really fun conversations about the Marx Brothers and Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, all gearing up for next week, which is Sophie's Choice. Ooh, kind of like Megan's choice right there, where she has to just choose between a comedian going to be funny or just crushing his dreams. Anyway, that's what I got for plugs. As always, you can watch Big Mouth on Netflix, which has Jason, June, and I all in it. So good. But let's get into the meat of the episode. Last week, we saw Skyscraper, and this week, we are watching the third in a trilogy. A trilogy that shouldn't have even had a sequel. That's right. I'm talking about Look Who's Talking Now. IMDb describes it like this. In the third film, the pets do the talking. And the Ubrakos, I think that's how you pronounce their name, find themselves the owners of two dogs, Rox, a street rise crossbreed, and Daphne, a spoiled pedigree poodle. Let's listen to the trailer.
Now, the family that has everyone talking is going to the dogs.
I've got papers.
Who cares? I go on papers.
TriStar Pictures presents...
What, no bubbles? Take it away.
Sheesh. John Travolta.
Who cares if he can sit down?
I can sit down.
Or if he could beg.
Beg's easy.
Kirstie Alley.
Santa doesn't want you to be a naughty girl.
Who are you, his mother?
I'm a Vulcan.
How would you like a little death grip?
I got it.
Danny DeVito. As the voice of Rox.
Little high strung, aren't we, Daffy? Your mom knew your cousin a little too well, didn't she?
And Diane Keaton as the voice of Daphne.
I hate this haircut. My butt is freezing.
Look who's talking now.
What are you going to name him, Mike?
Rox.
How come Rox?
His ass really left all over the back seat.
Yeah, sorry about that.
You brought this on yourself, people. You asked for this movie. We didn't want to do it. You asked for it. You're going to get it. You're going to get it. You can watch Look Who's Talking Now, not two, now, on Crackle for free. If you got Crackle, just jump on board with that. Amazon Prime and Vudu for $2.99 and YouTube and Google Play for $3.99. Look Who's Talking Now. It's the dogs and you will want to look away. All right. Last week we talked about Skyscraper and you had a lot of things to say. Oh, yes, it is now time for corrections and omissions.
To whom it may concern, gonna drop some knowledge on you, so get ready to learn. Tell us something that we don't know, maybe something they said wrong in the show. Corrections and omissions. Corrections and omissions.
Thank you, Wally Tarkington. I love that. Here's the deal, people. You go to earwolf.com, you get on the boards, and you tell us what we might have missed, things that we got plainly wrong. And this week, there was a lot of them. I'm going to start off with one that I got while I was driving here today. This is actually really interesting. This is from Dan Malia, and he titles his email, Minor Point of Info. He said, I am a former Navy combat medic, and we just don't serve on the ships, but we are the medical staff for the Marine Corps as well, and we often do the same hand-to-hand combat training as the Marines we serve with. It's a system called the Marine Corps Martial Arts Program, and it would not be unusual at all for Neve Campbell's character to be capable at hand-to-hand combat fighting. Love the show. Just wanted to take this opportunity to give some input on something I actually know about. Hoping you come to New Orleans soon. Geostorm! Thank you, Dan Malia. Thank you for your service in this Veterans Day week. All right. So we're wrong. Right off the bat, we're wrong. Neve Campbell could fight hand-to-hand. And I think that's the only Marine that's commenting this week. Well, we'll see. All right. First up, Grudlin. All right, this is a little bit of a discussion about The Rock's job interview. So Gredlin writes, probably my biggest problem is that the movie would make so much more sense if The Rock already had the job that he interviews for in the movie. I mean, the entire villain plot hinges on The Rock getting the tablet that day. It means that he has to ace the interview, which definitely would be highly competitive. It means the building owner would just give him the tablet immediately, but if he had been working there a while, he would already have had the tablet. It would explain why his family is living in an otherwise uninhabitable floors of the building. It would explain why The Rock and his family know the layout of the building so well. I mean, these are all great points, Gredlin. Gigitastic writes, yes, unless they had a bad guy in HR or they're in charge of hiring. I mean, what was the plan if The Rock didn't get the job? To which Pete, the S-Man Scudacy, writes back, I agree, but let me take it one step further. The whole concept of The Rock's character in this film is literally pointless. But how the movie is constructed, all the elite villains had to do was create a shell company similar to The Rock's and just have the bad guy portray this expert to sign off on the building. He would have then gotten the job and just walked out the door with the tablet. To which Cambert chimes in and goes, okay, Maybe I'm reading too much into this, but I'm pretty sure this was an elaborate revenge plot on the part of Pablo Schreiber. I mean, somehow he gets a job as, wait, what was his job? Assistant? Building manager? Head of security? Whatever. He used his position to guarantee The Rock was the only person applying for the job. He arranged for everything to be the way it was to get that tablet into The Rock's hands so they could steal it and blame it all on him and ruin his life like The Rock ruined his. Wow, you guys really were passionate about this job interview. But Cambert, I bring a point to you, and this is a point we talked about a little bit in the show. The Rock didn't wreck anyone's life. He was just doing his job. How was he supposed to know? This is what the Rock didn't wear the vest. This is part and parcel of the job of being an elite SWAT team. Sometimes shit is gonna go down. All right, let's go to the phones. Dylan.
Hey, Paul. It's Dylan from Utah. I just wanted to call in with a correction for the movie Skyscraper. You and the gang were wondering why The Rock went and got on the ferry. You said it was because he was going to his friend's apartment, but he was actually headed to the off-site control facility for the skyscraper. All right. First time, long time. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
Dylan, I call bullshit on you, okay? First of all, yes, sure, I guess that technically is why he was on the ferry. But why would he go to his friend's apartment? Yeah, he got sliced, but he could deal with that at the offsite location. I believe that friend just wanted them to hang out at his cool as shit apartment in Hong Kong, okay? I believe half of what you're saying, the other half is bogus. It's bunk. I don't like it. It's bullshit. All right, next call.
Hey, Paul. It's JD from LA. With your skyscraper episode, talking about how The Rock has never been skinny, I worked with him on three movies, Gridiron Gang, Southland Tales, and then Get Smart. And between Gridiron Gang and Get Smart, he did a movie called The Game Plan, where he's a football player who finds out that he's got a daughter. And on that, he tore his Achilles tendon and wasn't able to keep up his workout regimen and actually shrunk down. His muscle mass decreased by about 40 pounds. So the skinniest you'll ever see The Rock, aside from old photos of him, is in the movie Get Smart. But he's wearing a suit the whole time, so you don't get to see, like, Manny Pacquiao The Rock. All right.
Whoa! Whoa, whoa, whoa. JD, thank you for that inside scoop. I'm glad that The Rock is okay, but I'm now going to furiously get online and look at these skinny Rock photos. Maybe there's like a behind the scenes photo of The Rock with his jacket off and Get Smart. We need to see it. I remember him looking a little bit smaller than that. Now that you say that, I remember that. There was a time that he wasn't giant, right? I know that. Like, I mean, because even as a wrestler, he was big, but now he's inhuman. He is literally a superhero. It's amazing to look at. Okay, let's talk to an earthquake scientist.
Hi, Paul and crew. I love the show and I love you guys, but I had to call in because of the number of times you guys said that San Andreas was a great movie and how amazing it was. Now, I'm not saying it's the absolute worst of the or the most preposterous of the bad science movies, but they got so many things wrong. I'm an earthquake scientist from the West Coast. I mean, right from the beginning when they're mentioning the swarm and they're confused because there aren't any faults out there, there are tons of faults out there. We know a lot about them. Also, seismometers are so sensitive that there's no reason for him to be at the site of an earthquake with his computer to measure it. Nobody needed to die. And the speed of the ground rupture of an earthquake that size meant that anyone watching the seismometers and feeling the shaking would have plenty of time to get off the dam. There's so many things. They have the fault going in the wrong direction at one point. It's crazy. I mean, I had to call in. You guys, San Andreas is not a good movie, scientifically or in general.
I love you. You are the best. Thank you for that call. Thank you for that correction and omission on a movie that we didn't even do. But you know what? You set us straight. I think that San Andreas is just like big and dumb and fun. That's what I think. But I got a lot of heat from a lot of people. So maybe we have to revisit it on this show. I don't know. But you really just laid down some law. Hey, by the way, while we're talking, can you get me a special invite to Quake Alert? I want to know if I have to evacuate my family from California like The Rock, because I don't know how to fly a chopper. Thanks for doing what you're doing and keeping us safe. and not being stupid like The Rock in San Andreas. All right, back to the boards. The S-Man is writing again. Pete writes, after The Rock's daughter is kidnapped, the squad tells The Rock to get the USB drive or she will die. Pretty simple trope. But there are two things that infuriated me. One, the entire villainous team leaves The Rock alone. Why? And two, the bad guys tell The Rock to get the USB drive. The Rock has no clue what the drive looks like. Therefore, the billionaire could easily give him some other random instrument. Well, first of all, I think The Rock knows what a USB drive looks like, but not the USB drive. He wouldn't like to give him a fork, Pete. Like, and then, oh, okay, USB drive. He's not that dumb. I mean, come on. Stewie George writes, what bothered me most about this movie was, how was everyone moving around so easily inside the building that is on fire? The Rock's family was staying on the 99th floor. The bad guys set the fire on the 96th floor. So Nev and the kids have to go down to get below the fire. The panic room is on the 222nd floor, and the mirror room is at the very top, and the turbines are above the 200th floor. The Rock explains how the building's elevators can't be used in the burning structure. So how is everyone getting back and forth between the upper floors and the middle floors so easily? Stewie? Don't you see? These people are very fit. They're just doing stairs. They're getting their cardio in. On their iWatch, those rings are just filling up. You made your goal. You made your goal. You made your goal. They are people that are not afraid to do it. And if you're The Rock, duct tape and jumping seem to be the main way he's getting around. This is Jenny with a very Duluth specific correction and omission. She wrote to us. So she says, hey, I'm someone from Duluth, Minnesota, and I can inform everyone that we have nowhere near that kind of police and fire and SWAT team. There are no mountainsides to rappel down. My husband's a devoted listener and regularly watches the movies before. This is my first attempt at watching before the podcast, and wow, I chose the wrong one to start with. No, Jenny, you picked the right one. Or is it the perfect one? She already answered my own question. Can I ask why there are no subtitles during many of the conversations in a different language? Not even going to talk about the prosthetic leg. Well, we did a lot of talking about the prosthetic leg. It's interesting. I guess there was no subtitles. I thought there were. Maybe you're just getting the emotionality of it. I thought there were subtitles, although I watch everything with subtitles now. It keeps me focused. All right, Jenny. Well, I appreciate your little Duluth specifics there. Thank you so much. And thank you for starting to listen to the show. We love to have you. Uncle Charlie writes, another point that didn't come up in the discussion, possibly because the answer is too horrible to contemplate, is what happened to the pandas? Uncle Charlie, don't you know? The pandas are in the zoo. They weren't in the building. They were going out of the building to go feed the pandas. They didn't have pandas in the building. The pandas are at the zoo. Pandas are fine. Unless the pandas are also running a heist, and maybe the pandas are doing even a bigger heist at the zoo, and we didn't even know about it. Sequel, yes. Same time sequel, Back to the Future 2-esque. I want to see it. Peter Destructo writes, correction! The quote from Botha is, light a man's house on fire, and you'll find out what he really loves, not what he really knows, which makes more sense. And I guess the fact that no one has commented on how The Rock climbs 100 stories up a crane in what, like 15 minutes? Just proves how much the Fast and Furious movies has suspended everyone's disbelief on The Rock's superpowers. Holy shit. You just hit us with two amazing things. And you know what? When you do that, you win. Peter Destructo, from behind, you are the winner.
You win.
Yay!
All right, that is awesome. And we have a little bit of a song here, a song inspired by the Action Jackson episode where we were kind of saying life is a hallway into the danger zone. We kind of mixed up two songs, like Life is a Highway and Highway to the Danger Zone. And here our friend Sam Ortolano created a little Life is a Hallway song. Let's play this and we'll be back after the commercial break. Here we go.
He's a man of action. Got his sights on you. He's got a fist full of passion. And a law degree, too. How'd he get a Buick in the bathroom stall? He took a left at the stairs and went straight down the hall. Life is a hallway to the danger zone. Life is a hallway to the danger zone. Life is a hallway to the danger zone. Life is a hallway.
right, people, we are back. We always ask you to send us cool stuff in the mail. We have recently moved our offices at Earwolf. We don't know if you sent us anything, but right now our mailbox is empty, although somebody may not have gotten the mail. But anyway, if you want to send us stuff, send it to Earwolf Media, LLC, 5629 Hollywood Boulevard, Suite 66, Los Angeles, California, 90028. That's Suite 66, Los Angeles, California, 90028. Send us some stuff. We love to get stuff. But now it is time for my pick of the week. The week? Pick of the week.
Politics.
All right, my pick of the week is Adam Sandler. That's right, Adam Sandler has a special on Netflix that is legitimately funny. I grew up loving Adam Sandler's stuff from SNL to his comedy albums, and this is the closest version to that Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, Adam Sandler that we all, well, not we all, but that I grew up with. It's a great special. It's called 100% Fresh. It is now streaming on Netflix. Check it out. You will love it. A big shout out also to June's pick of the week, which is the Great British Bake Off. She is watching it nonstop. I feel like I'm living in it because she falls asleep about 15 minutes into every episode, and I've watched the same episode so many times. Oh, God, it's too many times. But those are the two picks of the week. And now we are going to go to our two-minute movie review. But before we get into that, I wanted to just give a special shout-out to Avril Halley. Avril Halley, who pulls all of our clips. She helps us pick our movies. She is basically just the best. Her house was affected by the wildfires, and we've all kind of been affected by the wildfires here, whether or not we've been in them or have friends that have lost almost everything. It's pretty devastating out here. And I just wanted to take a moment. If you have the means, you can support the LA Fire Department, who is just working their ass off as new fires kind of pop up every day at supportlafd.org, or you can support the Red Cross at redcross.org/LA. If you have the means, I'm not saying you have to, but like I said, Avril Halley affected by it. She's safe. She's good right now. And we are so lucky to have her, and we're happy that she is safe. And now let's hear her rip on A Star is Born in 2 minutes or less. Okay, here we go. Star is Born.
Cheers! Welcome to Movie Bitches! Tonight we're reviewing A Star is Born.
I like this movie.
I did too.
It's a solid movie. It's really good. I thought Lady Gaga was fucking fantastic.
I agree.
I don't know if I love A Star is Born.
That's the thing. I never really have.
I think that's the crux of it.
But overall, it's a really good movie, and I could certainly recommend people see it. Like, it's a good movie.
100%.
However, it's a depressing movie. Like, it's just as, like, story of A Star is Born is never gonna be like, you know what? I just really feel like watching that.
No,
you know?
It ended, and I went, that was great. I never wanna watch it again. Maybe the first half.
Yeah.
And then turn it off. It's a dated story. The idea of a woman gaining validation and stardom because a man decided she was good enough.
I don't think so at all, sadly.
It should be dated. I'm not saying it's unrealistic.
You know? I guess I just wish it would get more real then, actually.
Even realer,
like,
yeah.
Even realer, darker, like, oh, fuck.
Can we talk about Bradley Cooper's hair? I just really wanted to wash it. I wanted them to have, like, a reverse Out of Africa moment where she, like, washed his hair. Because I couldn't tell if it was dirty or oily or dirty and oily or wet. It was gross, and I did not care for it. Like, he didn't change for her at all, really. I mean, she stabilized him for a period of time, I suppose you could say. She changed so much over the course of the movie, and he doesn't really. Mm-mm. He's sort of her, like, dad figure.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There's, like, this, like, I know all the wisdom, and I will just be your mentor, and we're gonna fuck. And I was like, I never like it. I never like the story. I thought Lady Gaga highly exceeded my expectations.
Oh, yeah.
I went in thinking, hopefully she's good and the songs will be great. And I was like, damn, girl.
Yeah.
You were fucking fabulous.
Yeah.
And Bradley Cooper, kudos to you. I was thoroughly impressed. I related to her vulnerability, like all of it.
Cheers to Lady Gaga.
Cheers.
That was Movie Bitches. Give it up for them. You can follow them on Twitter. You can follow them on YouTube. Avril Halley, Andrew Galdi, thank you guys. Facebook is where you can find us. Well, I guess everybody, at facebook.com/HDTGM, also on Twitter at HDTGM, also on Instagram at HDTGM, also at our website at HDTGMinfo.com. Please remember to rate and review the show. We appreciate it. A big thanks to Cody and Devin and Kelly and Avril and Kyle and July and everybody here at Earwolf. We will see you next week for Look Who's Talking Now. Yeah.